It's interesting, as I've been studying, as all of us, I think, have been studying the minor prophets, to look at something that just kind of blows me away, is that these prophets, like Micah, he was just a guy that lived in the country, and God spoke to him. Now, what do you think when you hear that God spoke to them? You think they heard God's voice?
At least sometimes.
Yeah. I believe that this wasn't something that they just, in their mind, thought of. They heard God's voice. Now, we're looking at three chapters today of a total of five. Can you imagine writing down five chapters as God spoke to you? They weren't in form of chapters, they just wrote. But then, on top of that, they had to take that to the people. They only wrote down what they got from God. They had to take that to the people. Now, think about that. This is what the Lord says. Do people look to you to know what the Lord says? Yeah, they do. God gave us a message. It's in His Word that He asks us to take to the people. We are prophets that already have the story laid out in front of us. It's already there. We don't have to write anything down. It's written for us, and we just have to tell it. These prophets, that was an amazing thing. Think about those prophets and what their job was, to obey God. Chapter 3 is directed primarily to the leaders of Israel. Here's some wisdom. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Oh my goodness. I don't even want to come anywhere near talking about America today or the world. The world's always been full of evil. You can go back right to the beginning when Cain and Abel had their problems. It's been full of evil. But God's word comes to us with love, peace, joy. I mean, it just, God cares about us. He created us. Micah 3, 1 and 2. Listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel. Should you not embrace justice, you who hate good and love evil? It is quite clear that the leadership in Israel was wicked. Psalm 97:10, let those that love the Lord hate, what? Evil. For He will guard the lives of His, what? Faithful ones. But He will deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Now, does this mean that after Jesus comes back and takes us home? No, He means that now. Do we trust God to deliver us from the hand of the wicked? That should be on our minds constantly because we live among so much wickedness. All through Scripture, the same message is this same message is constant. God is good and Satan is evil. You've heard me several times. The word God, add an O, you've got good. The word evil, you add a D and you've got the devil. God is good, Satan is evil. This is and always has been the case, and it always will be, from the beginning until God put Satan into the lake of fire. He is the prince of the power of the air. I don't question why God sent him to the earth. I always say, God, you could have just eliminated this whole mess. Just get rid of Satan back then. But that wasn't his plan. And I'm not going to try to guess why he did that. And I probably won't care even when I get to heaven. I'm not going to say, God, why did you do that? But God has a plan. Micah 3, 1 through 3. Should you not embrace justice, you who hate good and love evil, who fear, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones into pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. Wow, this is kind of gross. But it sure does show what those people, what their wickedness and their evil, it doesn't mean that that's what they're actually literally doing, but they're destroying these people. The leadership is just destroying these people. We do see, and I will bring America into it right now, we do see leadership that has tried to convince people and has done so that, oh, there aren't two genders. That's just pure and that's against God. So that teaching is totally against God, that it's okay for a man and a man and a woman and a woman. It's against what God created. It's against what God said. And who's in charge? Who's doing that? Satan. And all the more power he has, the better for him and for evil to thrive. And we see it and we say, what's going on? We know what's going on. Satan is in charge. He's the prince of the power of the air. And people are duped. He's a lion in sheep's clothing. He convinces people that, oh, these are good things. No, they're not good. They're evil. Let's call evil what it is evil. What is it that causes people to rebel against God? Here again, Scripture is full of answers. Pride, selfishness, and greed are all about who? Who's that about? Me, myself, I. God speaks directly to us about this and condemns them. They are all directed at us by Satan to prevent us from having a strong relationship with God. Remember that whatever else you think about during the day, Satan is going about like a what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's got a mission. And the only one stopping that mission is Jesus. If Jesus is in us, we have the power. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he will guard the lives of his faithful ones and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Micah 3, 5 through 12 are what God has to say to these evil leaders. Micah 3, 11 is a strong statement directed right at them. Her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for a price. And her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they look for the Lord's support and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. You find that happening in the world around you? I get to do what I want. I can be as evil as I want. And nothing's happening. In 2 Peter, it just came to me. Ever since creation, Everything goes on as it has from the beginning. Where is this coming he promised? People are questioning it because it didn't happen the day after he said it. It takes, in this case, since that, we're still here and it's been thousands of years. So all the promises haven't been fulfilled. But you can be guaranteed that to God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. God is not slow in keeping his promises because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He waits and waits and waits and waits. And it's like, are you ready? Have you come to your senses yet? Or are you allowing Satan to weasel his way in and convince you to not follow me? Her leaders judge for a bribe. Boy, I'll do some judging of what's wrong. Oh, give me some money and I'll let you get away with it. You know, we see it today a lot, but they saw it back then. So it's nothing new. It's flat out deception. Micah 3:12. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Now think about this as we read this. Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The temple hill, a mound overgrown with thickets. Now, what does that sound like to you? On earth, when that happens, what usually takes place? An earthquake. Doesn't it sound like an earthquake? But this is God's earthquake. And he's basically saying, you will be totally, completely destroyed. Evil leaders bring down the whole nation of Israel, and everyone suffers. Here's something that I thought about while I was reading this. Was everyone in Israel guilty because of evil leadership? I don't buy that for a minute. Just like we're not guilty of the sins of the people around us, there were people in Israel, of course, obviously, that followed God and his words. But they paid the price right along with the rest of them. What should that do for us? Should that encourage us to stand up for what's right? For God's word? Every time we see or hear something like that and we're confronted with it, we need to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. Because we'll pay just like everybody else does. The people were innocent victims that followed God at that point. Micah 4:1-8, I'm not going to read it, but this passage is a shining message of hope from God. Lord, read that, and what a blessing. Yes, the consequences of sin will be tough, but God's love also gives hope to those that trust him and follow his words. Let's do a little quick review of the future. Oh, that's an oxymoron. How do you review the future? The future, okay? But we can, can't we? We can review the future. When you know God's word, you know the future. And you're not a foreseer or anything like that. You just know God's word. When you know God's word, you know the future. God has given us a perfect vision of that future. There's a printout that I set out for everybody. And Terry Jo, you've got mine. I found this to be really, really helpful while I was studying this because the end times timeline, it's an online thing. It's about Got Questions. It's a ministry that it's called Got Questions Ministry. And it just puts down all of the events in the order that they're going to take place. And the rapture, the rise of the Antichrist, the tribulation, the battle of Gog and Magog, the abomination of desolation, the battle of Armageddon, judgment of the nations, the binding of Satan, the millennial kingdom, the last battle, the great white throne judgment, and the new creation. That's the order, and this is all very scriptural. Some people don't believe all of this to be the way it's going to happen. This one I do. This is the way I believe. That's why I printed this one. But truly, God has a plan, and he will do it. He will bring it about. All that I have said, I will do, and all that I have planned, I will bring about. That's God. That's what he says. Do you want to go against that? The God of the universe that created us and everything else, you want to go against that? Or do you want to trust him and believe what he says? Micah 4, 9 through 13. And in this section, it describes more of the pain that will be felt before the restoration of Israel. But he does it in a way that provides hope. Isn't it nice to know that I'm going to destroy you and make you a heap of rubble? But it's a good thing because I'm going to bless you. Israel will become the superpower on the earth. What do you think of when you hear about a superpower? That's a country that's in total control. Sometimes America thinks we're in total control. Russia thinks we're in control. I mean, China. Oh, no, we're in control. What's this thing about control? Let's go all the way back to pride, selfishness, greed. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And not one of us should desire to be the one in control, because we already know who's really in control. And he's got a great plan. We need to trust God. Israel will become, according to this scripture we just read today, that in this section of Micah, they will become the superpower on earth. Jesus is going to be in control. That's the millennial kingdom. Jesus will be in control. We're going to be, we'll come back with him after we go to heaven with him. We'll come back with him after the 7-year tribulation. And we will reign with him. He's going to be in Jerusalem. He's going to be on the throne. Hey, Greg, I want you to take Muskegon, Michigan. Wow. Hey, Carrie, how about if, oh, let's see. Ravenna, you get Ravenna. You know? But that's the way it's going to come down. We will be the ones in control with Jesus, with him as our leader. And he's going to rule in truth and justice. Somebody comes to Jesus and says, during that period of time, and says, I didn't kill that guy. Well, Jesus gets the video cam out and says, here's what you did. You know everything I did. God knows everything. Nobody will be able to get away with anything. Is that encouraging to you? It should be. Because justice will be served, but only under Jesus Christ as King. Here we go. This is the passage, Micah 5, 1 through 15, that fulfills God's promises to Israel, and right along with it, God's fulfillment of his promises to the rest of us believers. Verse 5, marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the, where? Ends of the earth. That means everybody, not just Israel. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. When God created the world, he created some of the coolest stuff. I'm convinced there's a cure for cancer somewhere. They've come a long way. But sometimes we bring about these things on ourselves. And then we ask God to fix it. What is he doing here? He didn't fix it, did he? They brought it on themselves, and God didn't fix it. He didn't say, no matter what you do, I'll be there to help you through it. That's not what he said. You get to do what you want, Israel, but you know what? You go against me, you go against my words, the words that give you life, you're going to pay the price. But I'm not going to stop loving you. I'm always going to love you. The prodigal son. Dad, give me all of my inheritance. I'm leaving. Oh, really? You got so much here. I'm leaving. What does he do? He lives life. He has a great old time. Until what runs out? His inheritance runs out. Now he's eating with the pigs. And he decides, I'm down, I'm low, I'm as bad as it can get. I'm going home and I'll work for my father in the fields. I'll do whatever I have to just to go back home and eat a good meal. And when his father saw him, from a long way away, what did he do? He ran out to greet him with his arms wide open because his son came to his senses. What does it take for us to come to our senses? Verses 1 and 2 describe the predicted birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior. 3 and 4 describe the joy and the peace found in him. 5 through 15 tell about the power of Christ to overcome evil and bless his followers. Wow. These chapters were just filled to the brim. And even though the minor prophets start off saying the message from God is this: you're doomed. You are doomed because you've chosen to go away from me. How do you think people feel when they hear that kind of a message? Remember this guy, especially in this sense, he was a nobody. And God speaks to him and he takes that message to people? I wonder how many people say, get away from us. We don't want to hear about that. How many people tell us, God is the only hope for us. Jesus Christ died for our sins and he can fix this. And they say, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, well, look at history. Look at what God's done for people. Look at what he's done for the children. Look what he's done for America. Look at, you got example after example after example. It's historic. From ancient times till today, what is still to come, it says. My purpose will stand, God says, and I will do all that I please. That's a pretty bold statement. Can he do all that he pleases? You bet he can. And he does, despite what we think or what we do. Wouldn't it be better to just go along with it? It's tough, though. The world around us is pulling and pulling and pulling really hard, whether it's through sickness, bad health, loss of a job, whatever it might be. We get down. And God said, let those that love the Lord hate evil, for he will guard the lives of his faithful ones, and he will deliver them from the hand of the wicked. I claim that verse a lot. I really do. But the birth of the Savior, this is the first real time that we've seen that in the prophets. And that birth of the Savior changed the world. It just totally changed the world. Now, some final thoughts. God is true to his word. Can you tell me a time when you find anything in Scripture that God lied about? The things from ancient times that he talks about that actually happened, this prediction of the birth of a Savior took place just like he said it would. But people, when they read that, they said, okay, we're going to get a Savior, somebody that's going to make Israel, you know, the king of the world. So that's what they were looking for. But they didn't read his message. His message was a personal message, not a national message. I am going to come into the world through a person, Jesus, my son, to save you as an individual, not as a nation, but as an individual. But when their thoughts are primarily saying, we want to be big and control, we want Israel to be the dominant power, which they will be according to what Scripture says, but not then. God just said, turn to me. Just turn to me and I'll bless you. He sent him into the promised land. He told him to do certain things. Get rid of everything and everyone in front of you. And that land is yours. Yeah, from the river to the sea. The whole thing. Did they do that? No. We're seeing the remnants of people that he didn't get rid of. They're on the Gaza Strip. Are they nice people? Or did they go against God? They go against God. I'm not convinced that Netanyahu is a godly man, but I think he knows the promises And he said, that land was given to us as a nation. And I don't know, I don't want to predict anything, but I think he's got some plans to get it back and to take it over. Woe to the countries that go against Israel. At least for now, America, for the most part, is on Israel's side. We have choices. We know that bad choices bring about bad things. For a while, what does Proverbs talk about? Sin for a while seems good. But then when it's magnified and it comes to its, you know, I mean, you're going to pay for going against God. But God is true to his word. Never forget that. Take that with you at least through this week. God is true to his word. How many verses do you know that give you hope, give you peace, give you happiness? The one that I picked out was, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from what? All unrighteousness. Promises of God that we need to carry in our heart so that when we are confronted with all the evil around us, we can have a conscience that's clear, a positive attitude, and hope. I believe more than anything in this world, people have lost hope because they see the evil and think that that's all there is. Who's going to tell them that that's not all there is, that they can have hope? Hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And yes, that's today, tomorrow, this week, in the future, wherever we're at, whoever we're with, that needs to be a predominant message that we hold in our heart so that when God opens the door, they see Jesus in us. I don't want to ever hope, I hope I never have to be confronted with the evil that we see happening so predominant in this world. People killing people, and I mean, we see wars happen everywhere. See, in this whole chapter that we just went through, he says there won't be any more wars. Their weapons are going to be gone. They're going to make their swords into plowshares. They're going to have fields that produce the best of everything. And when is that going to happen? When is that going to happen? During the millennium. And we're going to witness it because we're going to be here with Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm really looking forward to that. Micah is an interesting book, to say the least. Next week, we got the final two chapters, and that's got an interesting twist to it also. So read ahead. Make sure you at least read it. And if you don't understand it, maybe we can shed a little light next Sunday. So God, thank you so much for your message in your word. The main message is the story about Jesus. Sin, his coming to save us from that sin, his death on the cross to pay for that sin, his resurrection from the dead to eliminate that sin in our life and to leave it behind us and to live a new life. Your story through Scripture is the story that brings us back to you so that we can have that full fatherly relationship with you that you intended us to have. Help us do that. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.